Great. I wanted Deebo over DK, and I'm thankful that they drafted Deebo. But the GOAT call, Brent, he had to meet with Brendan Ayuk and say, sit down, kid. Come on. You're playing for the 49ers. All right? Playing for the San Francisco 49ers. These 11 jerseys are selling like hotcakes. You don't really want to go to Pittsburgh, do you? You don't want to play in the AFC North. Stay on the West Coast, kid. Stay on the West Coast, you West Coast kid. You know what I mean? He posted that picture last night, and I thought, what does Jerry know that we don't know? Jerry just doesn't post that.
Well, I think Jerry's a great example of someone. Now, again, he wanted both, the money and the legacy, because I think we've forgotten that Jerry, you know.
He held out one time.
Jerry wanted to get paid, but the times
but he deserved
very,
it.
The times were very different. The money isn't what it is today. It's not even close. But this is the way I believe, and I know everybody wants to get every last dollar, and I get all that. I acknowledge and I understand that not everyone is wired the same. In fact, I appreciate that not everyone is wired the same. That being said, if I'm Brandon Ayuk, you do have to look down the road a little on this, and just hear me out on. Like, let's say you really want to go to the Steelers. All right. Their quarterback situation, we can all acknowledge, today is way more unsettled than the 49er quarterback situation. We can also acknowledge their offense has been spotty over the last 5 or 6 years in terms of effectiveness and getting guys paid the last 5 years. Prior to that, they did a great job of guys bouncing around. Ayuk can't just be looking at this contract he's looking at now. Because if things go well for him with San Francisco in 2 years, 3 years, he's renegotiating and he'll be on his third contract. Whereas in Pittsburgh, in 2 or 3 years, he might be one of their cap casualties. That has to weigh on him. Now, I'm not saying that Pittsburgh is an also-ran. They're not. They're not a team that's bottom of the barrel. But they're in that middle ground. And all those teams in the middle ground, coordinate. Trainers are coming and going. We don't know what's going on with their head coach, quarterback. If I told you today, Pittsburgh is in the market for a quarterback at year's end, would you be that surprised?
Nobody's going to be surprised about that. Nobody
so why would a wide receiver who's reliant so much on offensive coordinator, head coach, and quarterback bank all of his eggs into that franchise over the Niners? To me, that's penny-wise, pound-foolish.
Maybe it's Mike Tomlin. Maybe there's a real disconnect between Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk, and people are reporting it. Ryan Hensley on YouTube is a content creator for the 49ers, was telling me weeks ago that there's a shouting match between Shanahan and Ayuk. Now, it hasn't been confirmed, but now all of a sudden you start getting tea leaves from the Mayokos of the world, and everybody else saying, yeah, there's been disagreements between Shanahan and Ayuk. So something's there. I think we haven't dove into, and I don't want to do that today. I kind of want to talk about Brock Purdy, and we'll do that a little bit later, but there's a disconnect between head coach and wide receiver. Something's off there between Shanahan and Ayuk. I don't know what it is, but maybe he just sees Mike Tomlin saying, I'd rather go play for him than Kyle Shanahan. I think that's what it has to be. Because there's no way in the world he could look at the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh and say, that's better than what I have out here in San Francisco with Brock Purdy. He's admitted that. And then when I just look at what he can do as a 49er, when you ball out as a 49er, your legacy gets enhanced, okay? This guy right now is 16th all-time in receiving yards for the 49ers. Obviously, Jerry Rice is number one, and T.O.'s number two. Dwight Clark's number three, G. Washington four, George Kittle five. But do you understand that Brandon Ayuk has a chance to enter the top 10 in all-time receiving yards for the 49ers this year if he goes for, say, over 1,100 yards?
Would that be like 4,500 yards?
Yeah, it'd be about 5,000 yards.
What did Vernon Davis end up with?
5,640.
Okay.
You know, Freddie Solomon right there, 10th place, 4,873. Now, crazy enough, I love Deebo, and we get that he gets used as a running back a lot. But Deebo, in one extra year, has 4,122 receiving yards. Brandon Ayuk's already at 3,931.
I think the differentiator for me between the two of them, people are going to go rush yards. I'm just going to touchdowns. I feel
touchdowns,
like Deebo Samuel in terms of red zone, like the way the Niners use Deebo is just different.
Well, just not only just red zone, but just the way he can make turn a 5-yard crosser into a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
That's the difference there. But Ayuk's no slouch. I'm looking at all the highlights of Brandon Ayuk, and he's made some downfield plays. He's just a consistent X receiver, which you need.
He's a really good player. Regarding the tension between Kyle and Ayuk, not knowing specifics or whatever, I don't put a lot of stock into that. And the reason why I don't put a lot of stock into this, I don't think any head coach is kumbaya with every player at all times. I think that there's constant friction across the board and more at the wide receiver position on a team like this than any other, because you have so many mouths to feed. That's number one. And then number two, like the wide receiver position, everything can be schemed up perfectly. And we just airmail you. You could be wide open and the quarterback go to someone else. You could slip in your route or a guy makes a great play. Like
right.
Everything is becoming on just so much other stuff that you don't have control of. I think by nature, that position creates a disgruntled player, maybe more than other positions.
You know, I hear that. But it doesn't feel like Shanahan's never really had any big beef with Deebo Samuel. That's his guy. I mean, they've hung out in Cabo together in the offseason multiple times.
During games, Deebo has said to him, like, even in the NFC Championship game, like, it's go time now, Kyle. Yeah. Give me the ball.
Yeah, well, he said that against Detroit.
It's go time now,
and you know what Kyle said? Yeah, I got you.
I just call that tension. That's just being in the bunker.
But you got to remember, Ayuk was in a real-life doghouse with Shanahan. He was in the doghouse. There's no doubt about it. He was in the doghouse. I don't think Ayuk has forgotten about that. And I don't think he gets enough credit. Now, this whole offseason has driven me crazy with Ayuk and the front office. They're both culpable of everything. I don't like the unfollowing on Instagram. I don't like the throat slashing that Deebo was doing in the club. I don't like the dancing on TikTok every time a wide receiver gets paid. I'm old, dude. Yeah, I'm an OG. Yeah. All right. I'm 41 years old as you're listening to 95.70 Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm an OG. I'm 41 years old.
I am an OG. You know, I felt really, really sad at the Seahawks playoff game when these young kids, they said, right on, OG. And it goes, oh, they called you OG.
They said that to you?
They said that to me. I was ready to smack the hell out that kid.
Who
the hell
you calling
an OG? Said, all right, OG. I didn't like that.
He's too old.
My guy Reggie Chapman, he works, television.
Love Priest.
Dude, I love Priest. I really felt some type of way about that. Like when people call you OG, you haven't got that yet.
OG? No, I get coach and all that stuff. I haven't gotten OG.
My guy Reggie Chapman, a sports anchor in Atlanta, he had commented on something like, "Oh man, what's up, OG? Good stuff, OG." I said, "Hey man, be careful with the OG stuff, dude. Be careful."
I think it's how you hold yourself. Like, for example, Guru, I'm not going to give his age out, acts way younger than his age. And that's a good thing. I think that he's got like a vibrance to him. What?
It's some may call that immature. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
No, I think the way that he conducts himself, he's got youthful energy.
I don't have youthful energy.
Now, there are others at the station that give off old man vibes, but that's, you know, I think that's every walk of life. I would consider you right in the sweet spot.
Yeah, I just act my age. Mature.
Well, for beyond example.
My years. Wise beyond my years. Because I always hung out with OGs. That's why. I didn't hang out with kids my age growing up. I hung out with the OGs because I wanted to get knowledge from them about the sports stuff and life and everything like that. So I was always hanging. And the OGs, I was the only kid that they're allowed in the room.
So yesterday.
You sit on the floor.
I'm gonna go personal here. Yesterday, we got a text from a guy that used to work here, Robbie. Great guy.
Oh,
and he's
boy,
like,
Robbie.
Hey, man, we got to go have a beer and blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to hit him Robbie. Back with the most authentic, like, I just don't do that anymore.
No, I wasn't
going to
do that.
And it's not to be mean. It's like, I'm so washed and old. I got this 9-month-old that I got to babysit every single day. I barely have time to finish a Madden game, let alone go out and have a beer.
So
it sucks.
But I got to go hang out with Robbie, though. A. Scott's hanging out there Friday. I may stop by with Baby Chess. Who knows? But I miss Robbie, man. I miss Robbie and A. Scott.
No, They
were the ones who made me feel comfortable in 95.7. Spadoni, Robbie.
Yeah, we had great times.
The promo crew. Casino Matrix and everything like that.
Would you agree that your calendar gets filled? Like, one of my best friends in the whole world, my boy Rocco, okay? I'm the godfather to his daughter. I feel like I hadn't seen him for months, and we've been trying to hook up all summer, and finally we ended up having a whole weekend together. It was great. He's one of my best friends. We talk all the time, and it's been almost impossible to figure out the calendar because they've got stuff going on. We got stuff going on.
Well, you know what it's called? It's called life.
I know.
It's called life. 602, it's a new mobile text line. Coach is the white guy version of OG.
Oh, no.
I had to read that. That's good. Because I was thinking that, too. I swear to God, I was thinking that. I didn't want to say it. It's better if I just read it.
That was
it's
when
a wrap.
I knew it was bad when I walked into the Beacon one night and there was a bunch of kids that I coached and they're like, "What's up, coach? Can we buy you a beer?" And I'm like, "I got to go, Michelle.
Oh no,
you got to leave right now."
Hey, what's happening with the Brunos, right?
Uh-huh.
Brunos. This is about about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I walked into Brunos in Mission Street and it was popping, right? I'm like, "What is my old
white
ass?" No, I didn't have white tee. I had to Colorado. I was 31 years old by then, 10 years ago. But my nephew Rodney was in there. My older sister on my dad's side, her son, her oldest, he's in there with two girls. Like, "Unc, what's up? I'm that nephew Rodney." Oh, man. And then he goes, you want to roll with me, dude? He had two girls. I say, "Nephew, go do your thing, dude. I'm your damn uncle, for crying out." But that's what I knew. I can't be going to the club no more. My nephews are going to the club.
I can't remember the last time I went to a club.
Boy. 510, Shasky, they babysit when it's your own
kid.
That's
the fifth time you've texted that, and I'm going to keep saying
it. It's true.
It is, because it's a job.
No, it's not. It's not babysitting. It's you taking care of your kid.
Dude, he keeps grabbing the controller.
Chez and I made
cookies
yesterday.
It ain't nothing you can do about.
We baked cookies yesterday. I had a good time. All right. Brock Purdy. I want to
flip some the
in. A little too hard. You know, your boy don't know how to cook.
They're called well done. They're not hard. They're well done.
Yeah, well done. Well done. You know, your boy's trying to learn how to cook pasta and everything. All right, more coming up.
They soften up in the milk.
Yeah, there you go. She has some chocolate milk, and she had them. She said she was very excited as we went to Lenardi's. Shout out to Gary St. Jean. Whenever I go to Lenardi's, I think of Gary St. Jean. All right, more coming up. Brought to you by Mighty King Car Care Centers.
I like that. You like that? Pretty good.
Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Fontaine and Shaq.
What was that?
That was Nahigian showing off this new hat that he got yesterday that has like a little like marquee on the front of it that like displays 95.7 The Game. Mm. He's showing it off. He's really enjoying it.
He's
the
scariest
laugh I've ever heard in
my
life.
It sounds like, I'm going to leave you here, Batman, and then I'm going to leave, and you're going to be dangling over this hot cauldron of oil.
It's Dr. Evil. Batman. He's Dr. Evil right there.
Look, you like that?
Batman.
Look, I need $1 million.
Oh, man. Hey.
Do you think he would let Tyler Fitzgerald bunt in that situation?
Oh, my God.
In a game he homered in?
I mean, what do you got to lose if you're ball mill? Let the kid swing the damn bat. Maybe he hits one in the gap. I mean, the decision to make your hottest hitter. Like, look at the numbers here. And please, love me, you don't need to change the YouTube colors or orange. We're trying to keep viewers, not lose them, okay? Just keep the YouTube red and blue.
He was ready when you bring it up.
So don't flick his orange.
Flick that thing
I figured out the algorithm. You switch the orange, we'll lose about 100 viewers. I mean, we lose people watching because they don't want to hear about the damn Giants. I don't even like to talk about this sack team.
He says as he talks about them.
Tyler Fitzgerald hit his 15th career home run, joining Willie Mays as the only two in Giants franchise history with 15 or more home runs in their first 59 career games. Mays had 16 homers in 59 games. Fitzgerald has 15 in 59. And you tell him to bunt. They tell him to bunt so he can move a runner over, despite you being 19 for 123 runners in scoring position since July 30th. This is why I'm okay. This is why I'm okay. If he's one and done, I'm okay with it.
Mm.
You told your hottest hitter, who's got 15 jacks in 59 games, to bunt with the ghost runner on second.
And it was such a bad bunt, they were going to hose Casey at third.
They did hose him.
And then
him.
They were crying about how maybe Austin Riley was in the base paddle.
Right.
Stop it. Stop it.
Crying.
He was hosed.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing that I don't understand. It's like, okay, I'm open-minded to the strategy of bunting. Now, are
not
there certain
that
guys
hitter.
That shouldn't bunt? Yeah, and I think Fitzgerald is one of them. But that being said, then why wouldn't you bunt Conforto when it's first and second? And the likelihood of him grounding, let's call it what it is. The likelihood of Michael Conforto grounding into a double play in that situation is higher than him getting a base hit in that situation. It just is.
It's just asinine when you think about it. Like, I wasn't outraged last night But the more and more I think about it, I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, Tyler Fitzgerald. But hey, what's the Bo Mel quote? Before we move on back to Niners, and please don't change the colors of orange, love me. Now, I know it's bothering you right now. I could see your brain ticking right now. Like, oh my God. You're talking Giants and you turn it orange.
The end of very ambitious that way.
The end of half baked. You'll be back.
You'll be back, Mary Jane. You'll be back. He's like, damn you, Mary Jane. You throw it off the bridge.
That's him.
Guess what? He probably was back. Because I've done that to Mary Jane too. I'm done with you, Mary Jane. We're done.
Adam, it's too much for me.
And then 3 weeks ago, going through the show talking Giants baseball, I'm like, Mary Jane, I need you. I need you bad, and I'm feeling it. I'm sweating. Cold sweat to the car. I'm like, I can't get to the Kennedy's Club fast enough. Spinotti, Bo Bell, last night on why you have Fitzgerald bunny.
We're trying to get a guy over to third, you know, trying to get it down the third baseline, you know, with Lamont up next. Guy's a pretty tough customer to try to string some hits together with.
The guy's 19 for his last 100. I mean, come on, Bo Bell. Come on, I've heard too many of these same quotes. I heard too many. So you know what? I know Bo Mel's a nice guy, and in this market, we love Bo Mel. He is a nice guy.
That doesn't mean he's a great
manager. But you know what? Everybody's not. He's not above criticism. You had your best hitter bunt with no outs and a ghost runner on second base. And then you say, well, I thought it was a good idea because we got Lamont Wade Jr. on deck. What?
I know.
What?
Lamont Wade.
Wait, now you're assaulting my intelligence after 6 hours of sleep.
The Lamont Wade at-bats have gotten progressively worse.
Oh, my God.
I mean, look.
Poor Flip. He's got to sit up in that booth and watch this stuff.
Whose bottom falling out more has frustrated you? Is it Bailey? Is it Harrison? Is it the Camillo?
All of the above. All of the above. I'm thinking about Flynn. Flynn needs a day off.
Well,
hey, Dave Fleming,
I know when everyone else is taking days off.
I know. Dave Fleming, I love you.
You're all on a side.
Shut up.
Kite people was out of. Whit Merrifield came up. He said something. I was like, "What'd you say, Kite? Did you hear that? You did. I thought I was here. Kite was so bored last night. He was flubbing things left and right. I who am I to talk with? I was like, "Damn, get somebody Kite a drink. Get him a shot."
Well,
and then I started thinking about Flynn. I was like, you know what? Give Flynn the week off. Give him a week off.
So there have been some great developments for the Giants this year, like Fitzgerald coming out of nowhere. I don't know if it's sustainable, but I'm enjoying it. He made an error on a backhand play last night. I want to see him come through that ball. But anyway, not needless to say, Ramos has been really good this year. Now, I don't know how sustainable that is. He's on pace for 25 homers. Let's see. Birdsong has been out of nowhere. Wow. Look, again, got to sustain it. Harrison, for as frustrating and not living up to the hype as it's been, he's still I'd say right now, middle of the rotation, probably more a four, you know, starter in the bigs right now. He is a middle of the rotation guy. That being said, Luciano looks nothing like the heralded prospect I expected him to look like offensively. Forget defense.
You know what? All time, like, oh yeah, Flynn, he was 5-0, great point. I sent him bubble text, like, college football is covered for Dave Fleming. I bet you he's counting out the days. He's probably going to fly out Thursday night instead of Friday. Extend that weekend, Flynn. I don't blame you. Listen, the Luciano thing. I just go back to that one video when Twitter went crazy, and he's at Oracle Park taking BP. And the caption was, it just sounds different coming off of his bat. You hear clack, clack, clack. I have seen nothing.
He doesn't have a position.
I've seen nothing.
He's been in the organization 6 years. He doesn't even know what position he is. And he doesn't hit well enough to be a DH.
If you really just sit back and just laugh about it, it's fun. It's fun talking about a mediocre team. There's so many laughable points and laughable moments.
He hasn't even hit a warning track shot.
No, it's bad.
He's got some hits, but he hasn't. Like, he doesn't drive the ball. Like, I thought he was going to drive the ball.
It is bad. Patrick Bailey, bad.
Look, to be fair, Ramos didn't look anything like the Ramos we see now a couple of years ago. So who knows? Like, I don't know. But, like, I'm disappointed in what's happened with Doval, both because of him and I put a little on the Giants, too, the infrastructure that's in place. I've been disappointed with just some of the position players. I think Chapman's been a good signing. Conforto, like, how many outfielders do I have to name in the National League West before I get to Conforto?
You are so hard on Conforto, man. At least he's got some power.
Because he's signed with a million prospects.
Which is a threat.
Is he a threat? A threat to what? And a giant scoring run? Yeah, like, to ground into a double play?
Tuck to your boy Farhan. That's Farhan's doing. What's that?
Farhan's cooked.
You talk to Farhan. What are you laughing at, Spadone? What's up, Spadone? Look, like I see some people that say, well, Spadone's talk A's.
Laughing because he has Brent Rooker and we don't.
And they got Austin Adams. By the way, A's fans, Friday's your day. It's the last Babe Ruth series we're ever going to have as the A's go to Sacramento next season. A's fans, you've been talking about us.
Saturday, by the way. It's two game set.
I know. Friday's a day off, but I'm saying a Friday on this show because we don't work Saturdays. Friday's your day, A's fans.
Wow.
We're going to let you call in and talk that talk to the Giants fans. You have a chance to really, really end the season of the San Francisco Giants.
I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, if they could salvage the split against Atlanta, wow, it'd be amazing. But looking ahead just a couple of days, this A's-Giants matchup for the A's feels a lot like that Raider-Niner matchup in the final season of Harbaugh that ended Kaepernick and Harbaugh. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, Woodson had the pick to win it.
Yeah. Kaepernick threw a pick on the first play of the game.
Where it felt like two boats going in different directions simultaneously.
And then C.O. Moore was ready to beat up on Kaepernick in the locker room at halftime.
Was that image of like C.O. Moore getting right up into Kaepernick's face? Yeah. God, that was so dope.
I thought C.O. Moore would be so sick.
I mean, the A's have him and Khalil Mack.
C.O. Moore on Thursday Night Football dancing and Justin Tuck saying, get your ass back, and they had to burn a timeout. That was classic.
It would be ironic that Farhan's former team, the A's, where part of the reason why he was hired with the Giants is because he's so smart with the A's. And like, it would be symbolic that they would take him out.
So Friday's your day, A's fans. The lines are open for you on Friday. The lines are open for you. But don't try to say, oh, you don't talk about us. Talk to A's. You're 18 games under 500. Let's have a reality check. Get a grip, A's fans. I know it's been a rough year, but you're 18 games under 500. Relax. All right?
We barely talk Giants. But actually, don't get too overzealous.
No, I'm saying Friday's your day. Friday's your day. Friday's your day. Friday's your day.
Friday's your day, but you have to play Brent Rooker.
But we barely talk Giants around here. They're 500. You're 18 games under 500. Well, a little bit. At least you didn't change the color back to
well, if we don't switch Niners soon, I'm going to have to.
We'll switch it to green and gold on Friday.
Yeah, you should switch it to green and gold. By the way, you guys want to have breakfast with the Rels?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the show. I would hope so. Who's coming in for breakfast? Who's serving the breakfast? We figured that out yet?
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise?
Mm-hmm.
You know who it is, Logan?
You and Baby Chaz have to make the cookies, though.
Oh, we could do that.
I want chocolate you chip. To. I love cookies.
Yeah, we'll Baby Chaz will make them. She
always
loves
chocolate
it.
Chip. That's the goat.
She's having a great time in gym camp, by the way. I pick her up. She's having a great time. Meeting new friends, everything. Starting this Monday, we're going to give you a chance to come in to have breakfast with the Morning Roast, Friday, September 6th, to kick off football season with us. We will be excited about football season. Trust me, we will. Yesterday, I was down and out. I'm starting to ramp back up. Listen all week at 7:30 and 8:30, and we have 10 spots we're giving away. Plus, you get a plus one, so 20 people. Who wants to come hang out with the Roast? Nobody? Anybody? We'll find out next week.
Vontae, there is history being made this year in baseball, even though the Giants aren't necessarily involved in that. The Chicago White Sox, your update on the Chicago White Sox, they are 29-92.
We beat the Yankees the other day, 12-2.
Oh, officially eliminated from playoff contention yesterday, by the way.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I read an article.
It is August 14th, and they were officially eliminated. 29-92. There's 41 games left. 41 games left. Can they get the 14 wins to tie the worst team ever, the 62 or 63 Mets?
Was the
San Francisco coming up.
Was it Mets record?
They won 43 games.
Damn.
So they'd have to win 14 of their next 41. Can the White Sox do it?
925, excuse me, mobile text line. Compare Joey Bart's stats to Patrick Bailey this year.
Should we do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Let me pull it up. Joey, pull up Patrick. Bart. I'll pull up Patrick Bailey. Joey Bart.
I'm looking at him right now.
Here, real quick, before we move on. Patrick Bailey, 315 at-bats, batting .238, 7 home runs, 38 RBIs, and OPS is .652.
How many hits?
How many hits total?
Yeah.
For old Patrick Bailey, 75 total hits this year.
In only 161 at-bats, Joey Bart this year has 43 hits, 10 home runs, 32 RBIs, batting .267, slugging .837.
Wow.
He's having a monster year as a backup.
Defensively, he's been amazing.
He's slugging .837. Was that OPS?
OPS. Okay. Slugging .491.
Yeah.
My bad. OPS.
Patrick Bailey slugging .349. OPS .652.
Look, The Joey Bart thing made no sense to me because you needed a backup catcher and you signed Tom Murphy. No one was clamoring for Tom Murphy for $4 million a year, and you signed him to a 2-year deal. That to me was an ego play.
All right, switch the color back to red. Brock Purdy.
Why are we talking about the Niners now?
Just leave the damn YouTube alone, please. Just leave it alone.
He's got 10 home runs.
He's got 10 home runs.
32 RBIs.
He's got 10. I read an article on Steve Stone yesterday, the White Sox. He said he's probably going to come back as he loves baseball, but he's going to probably lessen his load. He doesn't probably want to be around a lot of losses because of White Sox. Somebody check it out, Isaac Gidd.
This Joey Bart thing is really like...
No. Move on.
But you could have had him as a backup.
Move on.
I mean, you took him second overall.
I don't give a damn no more. Brandon Ayuk. Getting reports. Jerry Rice said that, will he or will he not sign? I guess today's the day. Today's the day, huh? But what does it mean for Brock Purdy? Because during this entire... Thank God he changed the color to red. That stuff drives me crazy. I'm ready to throw my laptop through the damn
For
glass.
Those that are just driving around, he means the YouTube page.
On YouTube. Sam Lubman, whenever we're talking about a subject, I could talk about the Warriors for 30 seconds. He'll change the color to blue on YouTube. It drives me crazy. Like, I want to legit throw my laptop through the glass. Especially because nobody wants to hear about the damn Giants. Huh?
Yeah, just got to overcome the adversity.
No, I'm not overcoming that adversity. My guy's about to...
I need to see more ambition out of you.
My guy's about to go crazy over Joey Bart.
I think the ambitious ladies are being tripped up by different colors on YouTube.
You know what? That's a great point.
Or the ambitious ladies do, Bonta.
Yeah, the ambitious ladies, the pole's a little slippery. They know how to fight through it.
What is going on here?
You know what I'm saying?
They know how to fight through it.
No, don't talk about that.
Get a little powder on your hands
and then call it the day.
When they escaped the inning last night in the 10th with the Ghost Runner, only giving up one run.
Are we still talking baseball?
When they escaped that inning, I said, this is a win for the Giants. They escaped the inning with only one run given up. And then you get a Ghost Runner at second.
We're talking Mercedes.
And the best hitter on the team as of the last month and a half, Tyler Fitzgerald, and you're bunting him. A game where he hit a home run.
Shasky, are diamonds a girl's best friend?
Diamonds are forever.
They are forever.
And pressure makes diamonds. I don't know if you know that, San Quinn.
Let's move on. This Sasek baseball team. All right, come on. Now, honestly, are we really outraged over them losing last night? We know this team ain't going nowhere. What's the outrage for?
No, I'm not even angry. It's just, what are we doing?
We've been doing the same thing that they've been doing all year.
Why would you bunt in that? And the bunt was so bad. This is the part that's masked by the whole interference thing. The bunt was so bad that I got thrown at third base.
He'll get over it.
The whole Brandon Ayuk situation has been very interesting because last year he had a career season, obviously. And I've heard a lot of fans, we've talked to a lot of fans who think that it's been Brock Purdy who elevated Brandon Ayuk. That could be fair as Brock Purdy enters his third season in the NFL. He enters his second season as the full-time starter with the San Francisco 49ers. And you think about third-year leaps a lot of these players have made, all the great ones, right? All the great ones. Have made 30 years. Dan Marino made a leap in his second year. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl in his second year. Mahomes, first year starting in his second season in the NFL, threw for 50 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? Phillip Rivers, when he got a chance, all these guys. So as we enter the third year of Brock Purdy, we think about last season, it was a dream year. It was an iconic year. Franchise record for passing yards. I mean, that's nothing to scoff at. When a franchise had John Brody, Frankie Albert. Like I did that. Joe Montana, Steve Young. Hey, Brock Purdy, fifth in the league in passing yards, and they blew a lot of teams out and didn't throw the ball in the fourth quarter. Think about pass attempts, yards per pass attempt, and he's number two in the league. And you think about the 31 touchdown passes and the 11 picks and the rating and everything like that. What are the expectations for Brock Purdy for Niner fans right now? 888-957-9570. And I'm just going to work off the premise that they don't have Brandon Ayuk. I'm going to just say Brandon Ayuk's not on this football team, Niner fans. 888-957-9570. What are the realistic expectations for Brock Purdy in his third season? Can he top what he did last year, where he was fifth in the league in passing yards, third in the league in touchdown passes? All right, first in the league in QBR. You look at his completion percentage, nearly 70%. Nearly 70%. Can he get even better?
I mean, he only took 28 sacks last year. And I think he does a great job getting rid of the ball. And I think that evading a free rusher, he does a great job as well. Can he get better at the completion stuff? Without Ayuk, that's going to be hard because you do have to stretch the field. You can't just throw all the short stuff. Right. You'll see like in the league now, you know, 65% is the old 60, 55% in terms of completion percentage because there's a lot of smoke screens and short stuff that everybody's completing now. He's excellent on all the short stuff. But where he really, you know, was unbelievably accurate is the deep ball and the intermediate stuff. And that's what separated him and Jimmy Garoppolo. And then the ability to make plays when there is no play there with your legs, you know? Think about that play with George Kittle in the Green Bay game where he rolled out right and threw a perfect dime on the move. I mean, that's the the perfect, you know, symbolism of what Brock Purdy has done this year or last year. They were one of the top-ranked offenses in almost every single category.
Every category.
But I think maintaining that would be... If they did it without Brandon Ayuk, it would have a lot to do with Shanahan and Purdy.
We all say one of his number one traits is the processing pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, knowing where to go with the football. Him and Shanahan are in lockstep in the way they think the game, in the passing game or whatnot. And now as you get more experience in the league, the game slows down for you. It's a fact. Everybody says it, right? Well, it slows down for you with more reps, more experience, more playing time. The game slows down for you. You start to see all the defenses. You start to see all the exotic blitzes, and you get better. And you start the age, at least the great ones do. And I feel like Brock Purdy right now is pretty damn good. And so when I look at his third year, look, this is the first time in a long time we haven't had a quarterback controversy. There's been no question who the quarterback here is or who the quarterback is in San Francisco. And really, with that, that was put to bed in week one against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, he's our guy.
Well, it was the health.
He's our guy.
Yeah.
And he had MVP numbers. He played like an MVP. What can he do to get better? Because there's, you know, even without Ayuk, like, how does he elevate? And that's the exciting part. If they do trade Brandon Ayuk, I don't think the season's lost. I think the Niners are still a damn good football team. And I would actually be excited to see, wow, can Brock Purdy elevate the likes of Juwan Jennings? Can he elevate the likes of Chris Conley? Can he elevate the likes of Ricky Pearsall if he gets on the football field? How does he make Debo better? How does he make George Kittle better? George Kittle had one of his best seasons last year, and nobody even talked about it. He went over 1,000 yards with no problem. Didn't we also forget when Brock Purdy first came into the lineup against the Miami Dolphins? Debo got hurt in that Tampa Bay game. I think people forget that. He got hurt in the Tampa Bay game. And that offense, they had a short week in Seattle. That was a slugfest in the NFC West. But I think they threw up 37 on the Commanders. They beat the Raiders in overtime. And Brock and Kittle and Ayuk were making sweet music together. So even without Debo that year, now the equalizer obviously was Trent Williams being at left tackle. You need big Trent at left tackle. But I want to ask Niner fans, 888-957-9570, what are your expectations for Brock Purdy this third season? Because we've been so into the weeds on Brandon Ayuk. Let's talk about the guys who are on the football field. And Brock Purdy's on the field, Shasky. David Fremont, what's happening? You're on the roast. Dave, what's happening?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Oh, man, you were close. We're good.
Yeah, I feel it too. I just wanted to make one quick point. I'm all in on the Brock Purdy. All the stuff that you guys were saying earlier, one thing that I wanted to mention is for one of the things that we talk about, him not being able to throw the ball downfield. He actually had a 99.9 passer rating on targets of 20-plus yards more down the field. He was number one in the league. So I'm just looking at him. It can only go up from here, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, like you guys said, this is the first year in a while that we're not going in with the QB controversy. So.
Dave, real quick. Do you think he can replicate the success he had last season without a Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, man. Well, the 49ers sure seem to think so, because if they didn't, then they would already be bringing Brandon Ayuk in. It'll be tough, but, you know, he's got the smarts. He's got the know-how. I don't see him having any problems spreading the ball around. Will the offense take a step back? Probably. But that's why we have Shanahan, right? That's his whole thing is, you know, the offensive schemes and everything like that. So I guess we have to just trust that. And as much I wish Brandon was staying. Like, I love Brandon Ayuk. But, you know, I expect Purdy to have a great season. I expect the 49ers to be in the Super Bowl at the end, and this year, hopefully we're hoisting that Lombardi. You guys have a great day.
You too.
I just wonder, because like with Jimmy, it there reached a point where everything was beyond the numbers, right? Like, oh, he threw for, you know, whatever and threw this many touchdowns. And none of it really mattered. People didn't obsess about the numbers. And it was like beyond the numbers. That was right. The conversation. Can he win in the playoffs? And can he lead this team on a game-winning drive in December and in January? And I feel like with Brock, it's not so much about the numbers. Like, and I know everyone's going to like, the downfield passing, he's number one. And like, if they don't have Brandon Ayuk, that's going to take a hit, right? But I think it's beyond the numbers. Like, can you win your 11, 12 games, win the division, and then what does it look like in the playoffs? You know, like, are we in control or is it frenetic and we're having a multiple turnover game? Like, to me, it's beyond just the, you know, what's his passer rating? What's his completion rating? Right. Can he throw for 35 touchdowns? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think he's in a weird spot. In a good spot because he's established himself, but in a weird spot where it's now the only things that really are going to change people's minds are like game-winning drives and Super Bowls. It's a great spot to be in for a young player.
You know, even though he struggled in the playoffs for the most part, he does get credit for when it was money time. In the fourth quarter, he led them on a drive against Green Bay. He led them back from 24-7 against the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game. And quite frankly, when they needed to make some plays in the fourth quarter, I know the 3rd-and-5 didn't make it, got batted at the line of scrimmage, but they didn't score. They didn't move the ball when they needed to, when they fell behind the Kansas City Chiefs in that Super Bowl. We've seen, a big enough sample size to where the first 2 years of Brock Purdy's postseason, it's been a lot better than, say, Peyton Manning's first 2 years in the postseason. And I'm not comparing Brock Purdy to Peyton Manning, but that's the quarterback struggle. That's why I never got so down on Jimmy in 2019. Because when you look at this league and you look at the numbers in the playoffs with a lot of these quarterbacks, you're going to struggle. You're playing the best of the best. The weather gets a little colder. You're playing more hard-hitting defenses. It's rare where a quarterback just comes in and just lights it up. Like, even the greatest show on turf, when they advance to the Super Bowl and win that first Super Bowl against the Tennessee Titans, they beat the Bucs 11-6 in the NFC Championship game.
Well, it's one of the great defenses.
You're great at a great defense, but that's my point. No matter how good your offense is, you're going to run into a defense that is legit, that's going to take away things that your offense will not be able to do and matriculate the football down the field. So the numbers are going to look wonky at times in the playoffs with all these quarterbacks. Hell, Ben Roethlisberger's first Super Bowl, he was awful.
Yeah, but like the Jimmy thing, I guess where I come down, it's not that he looked bad. It's that he literally could not move the ball in the fourth quarter of all the playoff games. If you just go back and you look at his numbers in the fourth quarter and then horrific turnovers in the second half.
Well, Super Bowl, put it on Shanahan. We don't need to revisit that.
Jimmy, Brock's already been better in the fourth quarter than Jimmy ever was in playoff games.
He's been better in the fourth quarter than Peyton Manning his first couple years.
Yeah, no doubt. And Lamar's been terrible in almost every playoff game but one he won this year.
There's a lot of quarterbacks who struggle in the playoffs, especially in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but a lot of those I don't believe this 100%, but this is the argument against Brock. Yeah, but a lot of those other teams don't have 8 all pros or, you know, 7 all pros.
Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison, Adrian James, Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, Brandon Stokely, Tariq Glenn at left tackle from Cal Berkeley.
I don't think anyone was saying Stokely, but I hear you.
But he was the first, like, slot wide receiver that we really was like, wow, that's the Y button on the joystick. He's sick in a slot. You know what I'm saying? He had ballers. 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 Let's go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland. Oreo Cookie, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning.
What's happening?
What I do expect from Purdy is consistency. He didn't have too many no throws last year, but I think he'll have even less this year. His decision-making is top-notch. He's going to spread the ball around regardless of who the wide receivers are, and now it's up to the wide receivers who are out there to catch it. Now, before I do leave, I do want to give a special shout-out to my son, Aiden. First day of high school, class 28. He's going to Westmont. He's a Warrior.
Oh.
Warriors for life, baby.
Let's go, Westmont. Let's go. By the way, shout out to my niece, Nine Nine. Had her orientation for 7th grade yesterday. She's at a charter school that goes 7 through 12. So she had her orientation yesterday. My guy, Matthew Dew, just had lunch with him at Jack's Restaurant. Got into Mills High School. He's going to be in their journalism program. He starts high school today. So all the kids start high school this week. Wow. And middle school. And new schools. And TK. And pre-K. Little Benny. But only missed Monday because he had to take his kids to school.
You okay, bud?
He was crying.
Yeah, he was. But he's
powering
through.
Wait, you or him?
No, not me. Jade was very delayed. We got breakfast right after, and then she started bawling a little bit. Aww. But it's all right.
It's okay if you cry too, dude.
No, I just didn't. I was really hungry too, so it's all right.
So that's really why you were crying.
Oh, I don't really get to eat at this hour of the day, like a nice breakfast. Like, that's the one thing we do miss throughout the week. Like, we don't get like a nice, you know. Well, you guys get out of 10, but I don't.
So question.
How good was that?
Did he know anybody? This was TK or pre-K or what?
TK. It's like a relatively new thing. It's like a California specific. So it's like that tweener age where you're done with preschool,
right. But
you're not quite old enough for kindergarten. So they call it transitional kindergarten.
But it
gets their foot in the door for elementary school, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have all like this. He can count to 20.
Did he know anybody in the class?
He knew one girl named June. Yeah, that lives near us, which is nice.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Because, you know, that could be very intimidating.
And he vied with the teacher the first day, which is very important.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's perfect. Yeah.
Was he holding your hand and clinging to you or your wife?
Both. We both held his hand.
Oh,
and he liked that. Yeah.
Little Benny.
Yeah, he's doing a good job, though. I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, I remember when Chez went to her first day at Montessori school. We dropped her off. We go downtown. We listen to you guys. Shasky's freaking out after the Bengals game, saying the season was over. I remember I called in.
I did not say the season was
he
over.
He was freaking out.
Look at you.
He was freaking out.
No, we were both crushing him that day.
What are they doing right these days? Wait one thing. It was doom and gloom. It was unbelievable. Then your boy had to. The king had to come. The king had to come back on Tuesday and set everything in order and calm the waters. But then we get back to the house.
Until the second quarter of the Green Bay playoff game, where Kirk Cousins was back on the table.
Well, a playoff game is a little different than week 7 of the regular season. Then Anna didn't cry until like an hour before. Before you know, she's going to be in college. It's like, dude, wait a minute. Like,
whoa. She hit you with that?
Wait, calm down. Whoa. We're talking college?
This is free school right now. I'm not paying for college yet.
Let's get through her first date when she's like 14 years old. Then let's start freaking out here. Gosh.
Bonte answers the door to that first date. What up, OG?
Oh, dude. Oh.
What's up, Chief?
Hey.
Chief, close the door in the kid's face.
Hey, she's gonna have problems. Boys coming over. Boy coming over our house. He's gonna be checked quick. Shook down, checking pockets.
Gotta kiss the ring of the king.
Bonte's good. I want you to bring your 401k receipts. Oh, I would like you to bring your W-2s.
Dude, I'm checking
Ancestry.com.
I'm checking for condoms. I'm checking for condoms. I'm checking for everything. Everything,
Bonte's
homie.
Bonte's gonna hit up all his police friends for a profile.
Ain't nothing going down in this house, homie.
Please put your fingerprints here.
Let me introduce you to Chris Mullen. Ever heard of him?
Yeah,
here he is.
He's a shooter.
He's a knockdown shooter.
Willa Moran.
Hey, Will.
Our boy Will. What's happening?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think that one of the things that obviously doesn't get talked about enough for Purdy is I just think his work ethic and IQ is what's really going to make him successful. Like, one of the most impressive things with this year was that where people were worried about his injury and him putting on size, and like recently after the Super Bowl, there was a side-by-side. He just, like, looked massive. His arm was just much bigger. His neck was thicker. He looks like he's just poised to be. You know, there's a thing where it says, like, guys just, like, pass the eye test. He reminds me a lot of, like, a Jared Jones from, like, the Pirates. Like, everyone was talking about schemes, and everyone's all excited about all these, you know, trophy names and stuff like that. And then here comes Jared Jones, and he's like, who's this guy? And that's kind of who Brock Purdy's been. Like, in my opinion, Brock Purdy's never sucked. He's never, like, looked too uncomfortable to have that much pressure around him. Yes, it's nice to have a bunch of all pros and stuff around you, but you still have to get the job done. I mean, Jimmy G still looked like there was points and times where he was just uncomfortable and not ready, and Brock Purdy hasn't said that, especially, too, when your peers are talking about you and hyping you up and just saying how good and efficient you are and how impressed they are with coaches, players. I mean, what else do you want to know? I mean, I just don't understand the East Coast narrative. There's been people on the East Coast that have said, like, oh, I don't really think he's going to be good because I don't see a guy named Brock Purdy being good. Like, some of the narratives on him are so outlandish and uneducated.
Well,
it's insane.
Hey, Will, real quick. The East Coast guys, we know they're dumber than rocks. We've proven that with Philadelphia and Boston. They don't know anything. They're all meatheads out there. So don't even trip off the East Coast. We got them. They're all meatheads out there. They don't even stay up past 9 o'clock.
Oh, 100%. that my uncle calls the East Coast the uneducated infants of sports.
They are.
When it comes to the West, which is very true. But no, 100%. But I just want to say that I just think Brock Purdy is going to lead him to a very successful season. I definitely don't see him backpedaling or getting any worse. So, yeah, I think Brock Purdy is the man. And so long as we have him and people that are comparable and can buy into, you know, Shanahan's system and just play football, I think that Brock Purdy will be good, and so do I. I also think the 49ers will be good. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
good call. Well, you know the East Coast. They all, like, have this reputation, like, oh, they're tough. They're passionate. They're just dumb and insane. And they're dumb. Especially you, Philadelphia.
Okay,
I forgot about you. New York City, Boston. No, I'm not relaxing because they disrespect the damn West Coast every chance they get. They call us soft. They call us finesse. We run the damn football. We're 30th in the league in pass attempts. We beat your ass in the run game in the trenches all day long. So screw the East Coast, Shasky. Don't be caping up for those guys out there. All those meatheads out there. Oh, the West Coast, they're a little fancy football and fast. Man, screw them. They're the one running spread offenses, not us. We're lining up in formation, 21 formation with a fullback and running it down your damn throats.
The Northeast,
so don't cape up for them.
The Northeast has dominated football since 2000.
New England's got six. New England's one team. And the rest of the AFC East sucked.
New England and the New York Giants have, I believe, a combined 8 championships. You throw in Philly, that's 9. 9 of the 24, off the top of my head.
Only you will keep up for the East Coast. Only you keep up.
I'm not even keeping up. It's called data.
Oh, man. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. They had one run, one 20-year run in their lifetime.
One easy 20-year run.
Yeah, 20-year run. One 20-year run. They've sucked everybody. The Patriots before Tom Brady.
One 8-year run.
It's true. They've had one decade. And ever since then, the franchise has been nothing. We don't brag about 1995 Warriors basketball.
The Northeast does. They've been pretty excellent at football lately.
They had Tom Brady, a West Coast kid.
Eli?
Bay Area guy.
And
the Giants
Foles?
Had 2 years. Eli also led the league in interceptions how many times?
Well, I'm just saying.
Are we going to claim the Chiefs as Midwest? Is that a West? Are we claiming
Midwest.
Them as the West?
Yeah, they're Midwest.
They're Midwest.
I'm just going to say, like, I have certain beefs on the East Coast. Never loved Diddy, for example, but I love DMX, right?
I'm not talking rap. I'm talking sports.
Well, I'm just talking in general.
I'm talking sports.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Jalen Brunson.
I listen to more New York rap. Then,
yeah, we know you love Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, the GOAT. But forget Philadelphia. I'm not catering. Forget the East Coast. Forget the East Coast. I don't give a damn about them. They certainly don't respect us. So why the hell am I respect them? I hate Philadelphia. I can't stand them.
Aren't you going there soon?
I am. I don't give a damn. I'll be wearing a Niner jersey out there. I ain't scared of Philly. The hell? What? I may even put a 49er hat on a Rocky statue when I'm out there. Try me.
That's what. I don't like when we, not you, just anyone, like, there are certain civic monuments. So just leave them alone. That's all I'm saying. Just leave them alone. Don't mess with people's things that they hold dear.
Oh, let me not mess with their fictional character.
Rocky's pretty cool. Come on.
Rocky is cool, but he's fictional. He would have died boxing like that.
The irony is that I don't care much for Eagle fans in general, but I do respect the city. I love the city. I actually really enjoyed my time in the city. I respect a lot of the people from there. I don't have that big of a... I don't care for Eagle fans. Like, whatever. I know their front office can't stand the Niners.
And I can't stand them. And I can't stand the New York Giants. And I can't stand the Dallas Cowboys. And the Washington Commanders, who cares about them? They're an afterthought. But I don't like them either because they battled us in the 80s. I don't like them either. I'll find a reason. I will find a reason to hate the Washington Commanders. I don't respect the East Coast. They've been disrespecting the West for so many damn years when it comes to sports.
You love the Yankees.
No, I don't love the Yankees.
He likes the Orioles.
I respect the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, he likes the Orioles.
I respect the Yankees.
Is Baltimore now the East?
They are East Coast. By the way,
that last 2 months that Gunnar Henderson got with the Orioles last year, Aldi Ruschman, who we're going to see in the home run derby.
Yes. I'm going to smile a little bit. Lucas Alexander was in the studio.
Don't forget, the Ravens have also won 2 championships since 2000.
Lucas Alexander was sitting there in the studio. And he was talking, and I was saying, man, the Bears are going to be a problem. He goes, B, everybody's a problem. And I said, no. I only reserve the word problem for certain teams. He goes, so what? Let me guess. We start talking about Minnesota. I say, Matt DeHiga goes, well, Bonta did call Minnesota, OKC, and Orlando being good 3 years ago, and you guys all laughed at him. And then when I saw the Baltimore Orioles, you were laughing at me then. And now you're the biggest Baltimore. You're such a big Baltimore Oriole fan, Chesky. You thought we had a chance to go get Jackson Holliday.
Well, they traded the other guy.
Yeah, they're not trading.
Or whatever.
Yeah, they weren't going to trade Jackson Holliday. And what has he done since he's gotten called up?
He's been on fire.
Yeah.
He also has these new Adidas that like zip up on the side. He's like the head of Adidas right now for
East Coast. That's even more reason to hate the East Coast. They're winning all the damn championships. Because they got those. The Patriots had such a cakewalk to the ball. That's what nobody ever talks about. They had a bye week before week one.
Because they handled business.
No, because the AFC East sucked.
Yeah, why do you think
the
that
Bills,
was?
The Bills, the Jets. They were winning like four games a year. The Dolphins. The Dolphins ain't won a playoff game since 2000. Or 2001 when they had Jay Feeler. Who, by the way, they beat the Colts in a wild card game. ABC Saturday morning. I'll never forget that game. I was pissed off. Let's go to the injury report. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I swear to God, I think Jay Feeler was a quarterback, and they played the Colts. The Colts were in their blue jerseys, Joe Robbie Stadium. It was early in the morning. They remember the AVC wild card games? They had the doubleheader on a Saturday?
On the heels of what is an election year and the Olympics, I don't side with East and West Coast anymore. We're one United States of America rooting for Steph Curry. Chasky 2024. We are one America. I'm going to reduce taxes.
Even though everybody outside of California hates California.
It's all right. We love the hate. We're like KD. We embrace it.
We do.
There's a lot of things I hate as well about
California. I went down to Jerry's World by myself, and I was like, oh, you liberal from California. That was their trash talk. I was like, wait, is that supposed to get to me? I'm not even political. That's all you got? Again, don't even get me started on the state of Texas. We know about RJ Shot and the boys. Oh, my God. You want to talk about some dummies? Oh, man, that state. Full of dummies. Kyle Shanahan announced the other day that defensive tackle Kalia Davis will undergo surgery and will miss significant time this season. Shanahan did not disclose specifics on the injury. Boy, if I ever try to get a job outside this market, I'm screwed.
Sacramento.
You do got Kyle Draper, Keith Carraway, Damian Barling. Shout out Kyle Matson. The only good news is that Davis is not expected to miss the whole season. I expect his he'll be back at least halfway through the year. Had a really good game Saturday against teams. One of our highlights. And now he's hurt. Huh. Sent the theme here with the 49ers. James Report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. So what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Our boy, Benjamin Albright. Who wins gold medals? We all know that. KOA Colorado. He's going to join us at 9:20, our main man, to talk about the NFL. Nick and Berkeley on hold. We got more people on hold. 888-957-9570. Brock Purdy. What should the realistic expectations be for Brock Purdy going into his third year? I feel really good about our quarterback, Shasky. I really do. That's coming up on the Morning Roast.